Is it really?
Wow. We're going to call the State Government Finance Committee to order. Members, in your packet, you have the meeting minutes from March 15th. If Representative Pugh wants to move the minutes for March 15th.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I will move the minutes from March 15th.
All those in favor of the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The minutes are adopted. Members, here is the order that we're going to do today for the committee hearing. We're going to have Representative Poppy present her bill first. We will be referring it to the Capital Investment Committee without recommendation. That's just how we've been doing it. And then from there, we're going to go to number two. We're going to have an informational hearing on the veterans' homes from Chair David's district, Representative List district, and Representative Miller. The order for that will be Chair David's, then Representative Miller, and then Representative Bliss. Okay? And then after that, we're going to do Representative West's bill. So for Representative West's sake, if you want to leave for a little bit, you'll have some time. Okay. With that, I'm going to move House File 2892 be referred to the Committee on Capital Investment without recommendation. And with that, Representative Poppy, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. I'm very pleased to be here today for House File 2892, which is a public television request. With me today is Eric Olson, who is the CEO of the KSMQ Television. And also in the audience, we have Dr. Adamuga Edowoligan, who is here from Riverline Community College, and Craig Clark, who is the city administrator from the City of Austin, who would be the fiscal agent. So if there are additional questions, we have some backup if there need be. But I would like to just turn it over to Eric Olson because he can present what the situation is and what the need is and the request.
Great. Welcome, Mr. Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Eric Olson, President and CEO of KSMQ Public Television in Austin. I'd like to recognize Representative Poppy. Thank you very much. And Representatives Davids, Erdahl, and Hausman for authoring this bill. On behalf of KSMQ staff and the board, thank you for the opportunity to speak with the committee today. Today we ask for your consideration to provide state funding of $2.8 million to pay half the cost of a permanent standalone media facility for KSMQ Public Television. The local half of the project cost has already been pledged, much of that from a grant by the Hormel Foundation of Austin. KSMQ has been on the air since 1972, providing public television and media content free over the air to residents of Rochester, Winona, Albert Lea, Mankato, and Austin, and surrounding communities in the southern portion of Minnesota and northern Iowa. With a small but dedicated staff of 13, we do community events that sometimes include Clifford the Big Red Dog. The Austin High School Choir came to our studio this holiday season for a broadcast concert, and we've also moderated a conversation about the rural health care shortage with experts from Mayo Clinic, the University of Minnesota, and Riverland Community College. We produce programs to meet the informational needs of the region, our local productions, Farm Connections, Our Town, which is a weekly civic affairs program about Rochester, On Cue, about Moore County and Austin, and our arts and cultural heritage program, which is called Off 90. Last year, we partnered with the Rochester Symphony, producing and airing their entire symphony season. We have good employees, and it shows. We are awarded by our peers for our work. We tabulate internally what I call a widget index. You can see, this is for my board, but in the last 2 months, we tabulate how much field work we've done, how many communities we visited, and the like. This is January, end of February. We do that for the board every 2 months. KSMQ is a member of the Minnesota Public Television Association, and as you are aware, in just the last few sessions, the legislature has approved other station funding requests similar to the one before you on behalf of KSMQ today. Thank you very much for that ongoing support. In 2016, the KSMQ Board of Directors developed a strategic plan, and as part of that process, staff looked at our physical resources. Our rented space on the Riverland Community College campus was not built for media production. We have inadequate studio space, manpower inefficiencies, ventilation problems, and security and office operational concerns. 2 years ago, the college built an addition to its growing law enforcement program and put it right up against our rented space, that little open partition. You can see the white partition there. Law enforcement is on the right. Our professional staff is on the left. There's been loud student and general police-type noise and activity easily heard over the wall where our professional staff are working. And also on the right, anyone can access KSMQ unseen by an internal door, which serves both college students and KSMQ. All manner of students walk through our facility to another door within KSMQ that leads out of the building. We have field cameras, editing equipment, all kinds of stuff. They're worth a lot, millions of dollars, much of it provided by this body, in proximity and open. We have lost just a few flip phone type cameras. We've been there since 1972, but our space is definitely not as private as we would need. And these days, a live broadcast media outlet should have control of its building security in a better way than we are able to provide at present. We don't have water in our space. Yes, dignitaries like legislators visiting KSMQ for television programs practically need to leave a popcorn trail directed down three hallways you can see in there and then part of a fourth to get to the proper facilities. Our data storage system, the lifeblood of the television station, we call it master control in our business, lacks appropriate building air exchange, clean room technology, and temperature control. And our editing area, where our frontline staff works, lacks proper ventilation. The fan in the foreground is there all the time, but last summer, temperature reached as high as 86 degrees on several occasions. On heavy snow or ice days, the college closes. They want us to vacate also, which is understandable, but as a business, we have work to do in there to stay on the air 24/7. So that causes friction because they stop plowing and so on. We clear our own way, but it's from a safety standpoint, they would prefer we left. And we're not sometimes consulted on changes made, and we don't have the ability to manage all our own operations. Our studio on the bottom picture there you can see is about half the size of what it ought to be. We have a storage trailer outside which brings in various sets, heavy sets, one at a time into the studio when we change to a different program. Then we stack it in the studio and swap out the set and move the previous set back to that trailer. It would be significantly more efficient to have enough indoor space, best practice, to house every set change. We are grateful to the primary funders of this project, the State of Minnesota, if you so approve, the Hormel Foundation, KSMQ Public Television Board of Directors, and the City of Austin here today. With public and community financial backing, KSMQ Public Television will be the entity uniquely able to provide locally based communications and act really as a gathering point for dissemination of visual public affairs, educational, and entertainment media content to citizens in our part of the state for years to come. It is KSMQ's vision that a new facility has the potential to greatly increase the number of KSMQ productions that we currently do, building an educational and media hub for serving Austin and southern Minnesota. We expect to become a destination where musicians, artists, and thought leaders can share their creative work to viewers across Minnesota from a small state-of-the-art performance stage and studio that becomes a treasured centerpiece of our community. We seek a new facility to improve and expand our local programming, offer better security to our building, equipment, and people, and create a professional facility built for media production that will foster retention of our key staff. And with that, thank you for your time today. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Members, any questions at all? Representative Nate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Olson, Representative Poppy, would you go back to your widget slide for a second? And while you're doing that, I was paying attention to the widget slide, and the things that I missed are super important to me. I see no number of times of Sesame Street shown on Mr. Rogers, and as a big fan of both of those, I would hope that you are showing those and that you should, you know, work that into your widget because I think it's important.
Thank you, Representative.
Mr. Olson.
Point well taken.
Thank you. Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just a question, I don't see any financial statements in here. For instance, how much does it cost to run the station? How much do are your employees paid? Do your CEOs paid?
Oh, our financial statement?
Yeah.
We can certainly, I did not make it part of my presentation, but we can certainly provide that for you. Our budget's about $1.6 million annually.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Members, any other questions? Okay. Anybody from the audience that wishes to testify on this bill? Seeing none, Representative Poppe, final comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee members, for hearing this bill. This is a state partnership with KSMQ and other public television facilities have gotten that state benefit recently, and I'd like us to also be able to get up to the 21st century with the kind of needs that they have. So I appreciate your time today, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
Members, I'm going to renew my motion that House File 2892 be referred to the Committee on Capital Investment without recommendation. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, your bill is on its way. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, we're going to start with Chair Davids, and we're going to get an update on the veterans' homes. You've heard these bills before, members, but I thought it would be helpful for our committee to just get an update on where they're at from a financial perspective and everything else with that.
Welcome to the committee, Chair Davids, and to the testifiers. If I could have you introduce yourself for the record and from where you're from, and then proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair. Greg Davids, District 28. Do we have a page or someone that could hand out some handouts here?
Absolutely.
We're very fortunate today to have with us folks that are representing Fillmore County on their quest for a veterans home in Fillmore County. The need is great, and we could go into all sorts of reasons why, but I think today is more to talk about what the county has done as far as financially to help this project forward. So, Madam Chair, we'll stick to that. I do have to just mention, though, that we're very fortunate today to have two county commissioners from Fillmore County that are with us. Now, this is Jason Marquardt, the Veterans Services Officer, and Kathy Anderson's economic development person. But we have good representation here from Fillmore County. And I do have to say that there are two gentlemen sitting in the back row, or the back two rows, that I went to high school with. So I'd appreciate it if the committee did not talk to them at all. It'd be very helpful, I believe. So that being said, yeah, they will remain unnamed, by the way. But, so this is a very, very important project for Fillmore County, for our veterans. And Fillmore County has done a tremendous amount of work to get to this point. And so we're very happy to have two folks here today that will let you know what we're doing on the finances in Fillmore County, why this is such an important project. So I'll turn over to Kathy Anderson with the economic development folks.
Thank you, Chair Davids. Please state your name for the record and then proceed with your testimony.
Madam Chair, my name is Kathy Enerson. I'm with the Economic Development Authority. And thank you very much. It's actually an honor to be here to testify today. For those of you that are members that are veterans, and for those of you that are veterans in the audience, it's an honor to do this project and walk beside them on this. First of all, as you're aware, Fillmore County is about 30 minutes south of Rochester, our metropolitan service area. And Fillmore County has a request in for $10 million to assist with the construction of a state veterans home. The actual catchment area for Fillmore County has 46,000 veterans, which happens to be one of the largest concentrations of veterans in the catchment areas discussed here today. We also have one-third of the state's veterans that are 65 and older in our catchment area as well. So if you're looking at return on investment to bring those dollars back to your veterans, we have a great catchment area with veterans for your review. What are the things that you're looking for today, if I am correct? There's our fundraising efforts. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So to get on to the request for $10 million, right now, at this point, Fillmore County has approximately $3.5 million of a local match to assist with the State Veterans Home Project. And from that, you're seeing that there is land available, as well as infrastructure. There's roads that will need to be put in, two access points, ponds, walking trails, those types of things. Okay. To date, we've had an economic impact study for you to review. We've worked with the architects. We've worked with engineers. We've done the demand / need study to identify the statistics that I've been sharing with you. There's been government and non-government contributions, in-kind labor as a donation. We've had professional services, worked hard on veterans-friendly community action, as well as had quite a few community volunteers, time and travel, and some other miscellaneous expenses. At this point, we're looking at a $3.5 million match to the $10 million request. For Fillmore County State Veterans Home. Is there anything I can do? I think that you're very familiar with Fillmore County because of the State Veterans Home, as well as the State Veterans Cemetery. And as you're aware, there was 150 acres donated in the past for that project, and that project is already a vibrant project for the state of Minnesota. And so we feel that not only will you get a return on investment with your $10 million investment in Fillmore County, but you've seen a good record of how Fillmore County can come to the call of action. Do you have other questions, or maybe our Veterans Service Officer?
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Anderson. And yes, we'll have our next testifier. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Jason Marquardt, Fillmore County Veterans Service Officer. The other things that aren't on here that you should know about, there's people that do call my office asking when it's going to be built. I had a gentleman call yesterday going, "You built that thing yet?" No. But also people have told me how they want to donate to the effort of, you know, being financially donate. And I don't like to fluff numbers with, you know, hey, we have these supposed donations until it's actual money in the bank. Mm-hmm. So, and I think a lot of people too are waiting just to see if we get it, and then I know the community support and the area support is going to pour in with what will help reduce the state's share of the $10 million.
Very good. Members, are there any questions? Representative Dettmer.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and to the testifiers. What is your closest medical facility, a hospital, in proximity to where the Veterans Home could be built?
Well, of course, we have the mothership in Rochester of Mayo, and of course, mm-hmm. they have many branches. We have a very fine medical system with Olmsted Medical, so the area has clinics in many of the towns around, from Chatfield to Spring Valley to Preston, Harmony. The actual closest hospital would be in Rochester.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak? I see we have other individuals on our list, and maybe others who want to testify.
I think, Madam Chair, as the Fillmore County Group, we are going to respect your time and present you with the numbers here. And if there's questions from the committee that I can't answer, which could be many, we've got resources to help us out.
Very good. Yes, Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just on a lighter note, my many of us have had the opportunity to go through Chatfield. I understand that you have classmates here. Maybe they could verify that wrestling match that happened that Representative Detmer and I heard about on the Chatfield stage. And I don't know if it's true or not, or if it's folklore or...
Only the facts, Madam Chair.
Okay.
So everything's absolutely true. In fact, one of the gentlemen went to the state in wrestling, and so he could verify my comments.
And your success.
And absolutely. It wasn't as much as his success, but it was good.
Okay, any other member questions? No. Well, Jenna, thank you very much, Chair Davids, and to the Fillmore County for your presentation. We appreciate your being here.
Madam Chair, and as we move forward, if you have any questions at any time, please contact me. If I don't have the answers, I'll find someone that does.
Thank you. So next up, we will move to Montevideo and Representative Miller. Can I see Representative Miller? No. Oh, okay. Very, very good. If he's able to join us, terrific. Welcome to the committee. Welcome back to the state capitol. If you would please introduce yourself for the record and then proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. Chair Pugh, members of the House Finance Committee, my name is Angie Steinbach, and I'm the Assistant City Manager for the City of Montevideo and also the spouse of an Army National Guard veteran that's currently serving. This is the 11th year that Montevideo and Bemidji have been working for our veterans to have the state build and operate veterans' homes in our communities. We joined forces on this project 3 years ago because each community has done their due diligence to be prepared to submit a federal application request for funding. As time moves forward, the costs of construction keep rising. This year, the City of Montevideo completed another update by our architectural firm, and the new project cost estimate for the construction of a veterans home can be seen on the front of your booklets at $43,700,000. Of that, the two-thirds share, or federal share, is $29,279,000. And the state share, or one-third, is $14,421,000. That leaves $9,388,000 as the state share after local committed funds and costs to date of over $5 million, $32,145 by the City of Montevideo and surrounding supporters. In the last year, the Veterans Home Committee members have continued to speak with the following interested groups about our proposal and held the following support rallies: the Wilmer Rotary Club, the Vietnam Veterans Association of America, 3 Montevideo Veterans Home rallies, Chippewa County Township Associations, a meeting with the Department of Veterans Affairs staff and Commissioner Shellitoe, Montevideo Public School students and staff, and numerous other civic organization meetings. Additionally, in the last year, the Montevideo Veterans Home Committee representatives have obtained new financial pledges from the Minnesota Vietnam Veterans Association of Minnesota, updated pledges from Chippewa County Township Association, and numerous new private individual donations. This is on top of the $5 million already raised that you can see on page 6. Furthermore, when committee members met with the Department of Veterans Affairs in September 2017 regarding the construction and operation of a state veterans home, we received the following recommendations that were subsequently completed. We added our existing infrastructure locations relative to the site of the proposed veterans home to our plan. You will find these completed documents on page 32 and 33 in your books. The site is considered shovel-ready with immediate access to water, sewer, natural gas, cable TV, phone, electric, and fiber internet availability. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs staff also recommended that we complete soil borings, and they were completed in December of 2017. The results are on page 94 and determined a site suitable for construction. Because of rising construction costs, it's so important that communities have shovel-ready sites for the proposed projects. Both Montevideo and Bemidji have their exact site locations located in their communities where the veterans' homes will be placed. There are community-based outpatient clinics within the community the homes would be in. Both communities have 24-hour critical care hospitals and clinics within their communities. The City of Montevideo and Bemidji have vibrant retail and service industry, including bus services, taxi services, hotels, restaurants, an American Legion and a VFW, and a National Guard unit. These things and so much more go into making a veteran's home a comfortable place for residents, their families, and their visitors to come. Through the last 11 years, we continue to do our due diligence in everything that is asked for us by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the state legislators. The Montevideo site is shovel-ready with all utilities in place and soil boring tests completed. Our project pre-design and proposal is complete and is updated annually to ensure we have the most accurate data possible. The Department of Veterans Affairs have recommended a 70-bed model as an ideal size, a veteran's home to build and operate. If the home is too large or too small, it doesn't make sense financially. There are over 62,474 veterans and 12 National Guard units within a 90-minute driving distance of Montevideo. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs community-based outpatient clinic in Montevideo this year had 2,440 patients assigned to this location, and the total number of unique patients served is 3,168. Despite these totals, all 386,000 veterans from the entire state are able to apply for and gain admittance to any veterans home in the state, whether they're coming from Ely and going to Laverne, or they're going from Rochester and heading up toward Fergus Falls. The federal government has identified a need for the Minnesota Department Affairs to build an additional 234 beds in Minnesota. Montevideo is seeking 70 beds. Bemidji is seeking 70 beds. And it's time to move forward on these homes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'll pass on to Mark Harvey.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Steinbach.
Thank you.
Chair Pugh, members of the State Government Finance Committee, thank you for allowing us to testify today on the proposed veterans home in Montevideo. My name is Marlon Garvey. I'm a member of the Montevideo City Council and currently serve as the Council President. I served 37 years in Minnesota Army National Guard, retiring as a Chief Warrant Officer 4. I'm currently a commander of American Legion Post 59 and also serve on its Honor Guard. You have been updated on the current work done in our community for our 70-bed veterans home and the $5 million-plus raised for construction by city, county, and region with land and infrastructure in place to include the soil borings. A water treatment facility, along with a wastewater treatment facility, can more than adequately serve the veterans home. It is shovel-ready. If the frost was on the ground, we could start building tomorrow. This site is a prime location in the state, and there's a need for our veterans. The home will allow for more frequent visits for their families without traveling a long distance. We also have a community outpatient clinic located within 1 mile of the proposed home. This is a cost saving for the treatment of veterans. The Seabach currently serves 2,440 veterans and 728 through telehealth and home health care. Those add up to the same figures that Angie gave you, so if you're trying to add them up. I encourage each of you to visit the Department of Veterans Affairs website and take a look at the video they have on veterans' homes in Minnesota. Our veterans need their home. It is our responsibility to provide for them as they so honorably sacrificed for us. Here they can visit their counterparts and have something in common to talk about. They will have nursing staff that understands war injuries, both physical and mental. They will understand their sacrifices while in combat, and only another veteran understands their feelings. As stated earlier, this is the 11th year that we've been working on this proposal. As you can see, many hours have gone into research and planning to bring this veterans home to fruition. Everything that has been presented to you, to include our booklet, is fact. This proposal documents the need and includes a pre-design, projected construction costs, staffing, and future operating costs. Many of the veterans that have supported this project will never have the opportunity to use this facility, but they continue to work for the veterans in the future. Now we need you to follow through and give them the support they so richly deserve. This project has been delayed too long. I implore you to give thoughtful consideration to Montevideo Bemidji proposal. Pray for our veterans and soldiers daily. God bless America and the state of Minnesota. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Thank you so much for your testimony. We do have several member questions, but before we do that, I just wanted to thank you for your service. Thank you for being here today, and welcome back to the Capitol.
Thank you.
And for your presentation. It was fantastic. And I also want to compliment you all on this amazing booklet. I've had an opportunity to hear this presentation before. Appreciate this update. But love that it's shovel ready and impressed.
Right.
So with that, we have several members and Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'll ask the same question. I know you mentioned about the outpatient clinic. You know, with any veteran's home, distance that you need to travel to a hospital or outpatient clinic, how close is your hospital to the...
One mile from the proposed home.
Okay.
And that's a 24-hour operation with 24-hour ambulance service with paramedics on duty.
Okay.
Representative Detmer.
Yeah. I just want to thank the Chief Warrant Officer. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Representative Kamesh Purdue. Thank you, Madam Chair. So this will have 70 beds, did you say, this facility?
Yeah,
and will that, do you have special areas assigned for men and women? Will it be like a women's wing or a men's wing, or is this something that you haven't really had to worry about too much? Mr. Gerby.
Yeah, in our previous proposal, we have addressed that. This year was update on the finance side. But to answer your question, yes, there's room also in there for females, and there also will serve the Native American population in our area.
Representative Kamesh Padun. Okay, follow up. And that's really great. On page... On page 37, you have a beautiful visual of how you plan to heat and power the veterans facility that you have here, and it says it's ideal for geothermal, passive solar energy use, wind turbine technology. Is it the plan that you would use those natural resources to heat and
sure. Ms. Steinbach? Ms. Steinbach?
Thank you. Sorry. That is contained within the budget for our plan, yes.
Mm-hmm. Representative Kamesh, Madam Chair. Do you know of any other facilities that either use this form of natural energy or have plans to convert to it or plans for future veteran homes to use this natural way? Ms. Steinbach?
No, I'm not aware off the top of my head, but it is definitely the way the world is heading with utilizing wind power and solar power. There's actually an adjacent solar field that went up in Montevideo on the east side of town. So it's definitely something that we're progressing for. It's a clean energy.
Madam Chair, well, I think it's a really great idea, and I hope that it's a model for future buildings. If we can all move in that direction, I think we'll make a better Minnesota for all of us. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Two questions. The first one is for maybe for someone else in the staff. There is someone on the roster for Beltrami County Veterans Services. Are they going to testify, or are they not?
He's here.
Yes.
Okay, I'll wait until...
Sure, Anderson. Sure, Representative Green, yes. The order that we're doing it in is Fillmore and then Montevideo and then Beltrami. So.
Okay, I'll wait until Beltrami comes up. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm really actually just going to build on Representative Kamesh Padun's comments and about the environmental piece. I'm really delighted to see, and I'm looking on page 31, so it's a little bit different perspective, the solar thermal collectors. It's a little better explained in this visual, as well as the geothermal well field, and two of those. The southern exposure for the patio areas, those kinds of things, it just seems to be very well thought out, and I know that there's a lot of wind out there, so you're going to be able to benefit from that. Is there anything that you feel you wish you could add to that, or do you have a rich... daycare.
Yeah. We could put a daycare facility.
For the staff.
For the staff. Yeah.
I just wondered, because I'm the board, you know, your wish list, I mean, if I was making a wish list for this kind of thing, this is what I would have on it, but I'm wondering, what did you have to leave off?
Ms. Steinbach.
And I just say in reference to the need in all parts of Minnesota for daycare, and there's been studies on how generations interacting is very positive, but that is a large wish list. The reality behind that.
Representative Ford.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, I would love for you to figure out a way to do that, because that is really important, the intergenerational interactions, but also recognizing the need in rural communities for quality daycare. Good luck.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other member questions? Are there any other members of the public that would like to testify to this project? Thank you so much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, Paige, Representative Bliss.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Bliss, yes, a question has been asked if by chance you brought some guests along with you today. Representative Anderson.
And Madam Chair, Representative Bliss, I'm quite concerned. Yesterday in the Capitol, we had people walking around with the Buffalo Plaid shirts on, and somebody is trying to horn in on the Bemidji signature. I thought yesterday was Bemidji Day at the Capitol.
Yeah, you know, they understand good facts when they see it. So.
Well, I wanted to compliment. It's just quite the visual from here to see how good looking the audience is, and I compliment you on your wardrobe, Representative Bliss.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You heard a little bit from Montevideo how long we've been working on this project, and we've been working on it at least
11 years
as well. It's not something that's new. I want to thank the chair and the committee last year for the effort that you all put forward for this project, and I believe we're making good progress. I'm not going to say a lot about the project right now. I'm going to leave that up to the experts here. I will make some comments on the closing, though.
Okay. Very good. And I see we have some other testifiers. Welcome to the committee. If you would please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Colonel retired Scotty Allison, U.S. Army. I'm wearing my Navy jacket today. I was in the Navy for 3 years, too. So, Joe?
Yes, sir?
Joe Vinny. He's a Beltrami County Commissioner of 12 years. I'm the legislative liaison officer for Beltrami County. I am a United States Army veteran from the mid-50s, where some of us here in this room perhaps were just barely born. But in any case, I would like to see on behalf of catchment areas of veterans anywhere, whether it be Montevideo or Fillmore County or Beltrami County or any place else. Services delayed, our services denied. And I think that we are on the precipice now of honoring the moral obligation of fully taking care of veterans, no matter where they're found to be residing. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You heard from Montevideo. We've been mirroring Montevideo for some time now. So much of what they said is the same for us. Basically costs, what it's going to kind of look like. I would just point out what was not mentioned was the fact that, I have that already, that the VA, once it was in...
We are putting your notes on the TV for the public. Just wanted to make you aware.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No problem. You can proceed.
So much of what the facility is going to look like is going to be once the projects are kicked to the federal government, and if they decide to build a Minnesota veterans home, the federal government is going to dictate a lot about what's in that veterans home, how it's built. Because just so you know, they have requirements and that because they're funding two-thirds of that. But off of that, I want to thank Andrew and the team for Montevideo, Madam Chair, committee members. As you've heard, we've been working together at Veterans Home up north for over 11 years. We are a large, geographically isolated area and believe that our 16-county region is in need of a hub. We have over 27,000 veterans living in these six counties. Many of them live in close proximity to Beltrami County. We, like everybody else in Minnesota, are experiencing a rapidly aging veterans population. And I will point out, and the numbers speak for themselves, 35% of all Minnesota American Indian veterans live in our area. We have previously provided you a proposal similar to Montevideo's. You have that. We have not updated yet, but that probably the next project. But I would point out, Bemidji, if you've been up north lately, is becoming a huge regional medical center. We're adding capabilities all the time, and it continues to expand. I provided you the slide of what we have so far had donations for, one being the land from Sanford Regional Hospital. The county commissioners have pledged $1 million. I would tell you that is huge because it's coming. Beltrami County is the second poorest county in Minnesota. We also have a number of other very poor counties in our 16-county region area. Pledges continue to come. I'm working with some of the other counties, and so on and so forth. Minnesota, I would just point this out, Minnesota needs an additional veterans home. Our veterans homes are working at the full capacity. We have huge waiting lists. Any openings are filled almost immediately. But in our heart of heart, because of where we sit and how far we are from other veterans homes, we believe that if you're going to build one, at least one of them should be built in Bemidji, Minnesota. So I was basically to do an update on the finances. I am done unless I have some questions.
Okay. Yes, Representative Green, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is really important, and I was looking through the stuff. I didn't see the map. And so the question here, you may, it may come across as I'm trying to eliminate the rest of the state. I'm not. But on the map that shows the service area for the existing vet homes does not even touch our area. But is this correct?
Yes. Mr. Testifier. Mr. Allison.
Representative, that's correct. The current veterans homes, if you draw the radius around them, what is it, 50-100 mile radiuses, Bemidji sits beyond that, and probably two-thirds of our catchment area aren't even close to those radiuses. Here, we'll put this up. This is what we're talking about here. You can tell these are the existing veterans homes, and there's one area in the state that's completely void. And that includes the Red Lake Indian Reservation, the Leech Lake Indian Reservation, and our catchment area also includes the White Earth Indian Reservation. It includes the city of Bemidji, War Road, Heath River Falls. All those areas are completely unserved for a veterans home right now. Is this what you were looking for,
Representative Green?
Madam Chair and Representative Bliss, that's exactly what I wanted to get to have the people see here. And to the testifiers, but my hope is that you won't have to update your proposal. I hope it goes through this year. I think the need is obvious, and so thank you for your work.
Yes, Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to ask the same question I did the other groups, is what's the proximity, how close is your hospital facilities to the site?
So it's,
Mr. Allison?
Thank you. It's right across the street.
Okay. Thank you.
In fact, I would just point out that the CBOC, Sanford Regional Hospital, and if we get a veterans home in Bemidji, we'll all be within walking distance of each other.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Allison.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know we're just doing that finance update you presented last time, but would you refresh my memory how many beds this is for?
70.
Can I point out something about that, Mr. Allison?
Thank you. So right now we're splitting what available beds are from the federal government. But the fact is the number of beds, as it turns out, is higher than what we thought it was. Before we thought it was 144, but now I'm hearing it's 240. So you could split, let's say you had three vets homes, you could split it how you want to split it. But 70 seems a manageable number and that's why we ended up on the 70 mark, and it was because of the 144.
Representative Wilson? Representative Flanagan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a question. You had mentioned, and I'm glad that Representative Green lifted this up, but that the area served includes the Leech Lake community, the Red Lake community, the White Earth community. Could you just speak to the Representative List or the testifiers, just the conversations or, that you've had with the local tribal communities there?
Yes, Representative Wilson.
Thank you. I'm sorry. We've approached every tribal council, every tribal community. They know we're working with veterans home. Because of the large number of Native American veterans, we've already planned into it some Native American traditional kind of things into the vets home. I'm wondering where they could do the traditional ceremonies and things like that. So we've had many discussions with Red Lake, Leech Lake, not so many with White Earth and Boys Fort.
Thank you.
Yes, Representative Flanagan.
Madam Chair, maybe Representative Green and I can work on White Earth a little bit. Thank you.
Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Allison, what is the number in your catchment area? We got some statistics from the other ones. Do you have the stats and the number of the catchment that is not served essentially because you're in that gap territory?
Right now it's 26,802 veterans, and that's coming from the American Community Survey 2012 to 2016, so that's kind of the documentation we use. Veteran populations fluctuate, but that's what we're using.
Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Allison, and thank you, Madam Chair. I think that really puts it in perspective. I think my biggest concern is my in-laws live in Lake of the Woods, and I know when I get to Bemidji, I still have 2 hours to go. So for anybody to put that in perspective of how far things are from a geographic standpoint, it's quite a distance. So I want to say to Mr. Benny, we appreciate you coming to the Capitol again. You've been a strong voice for Bemidji, and appreciate your service.
Mr. Benny.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would add a crucial dimension to the Northern Minnesota Veterans Home concept in Bemidji, and it is the close proximity also of Bemidji State University and Northwest Technical College and its career preparedness programs in the healthcare area. So we have immediate access to staffing, specific kinds of staffing for veterans, the traumatic brain injury, post-traumatic stress disorder, Agent Orange, all these kinds of things. Indeed, if you have loss of limb, that's immediately observable. But mental health quotients and so on and so forth are not talkable. Mm-hmm. So we are talking about a continuum of service in cooperation with the State Veterans Department. Indeed, Sanford Health Systems in Bemidji, where the facility will be located, and also co-located there that you've heard, the community-based outpatient clinic. So there's a certain synchronicity that brings everything together here for veterans in northern northwestern Minnesota. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, Mr. Vinny, for that testimony. That was very, very helpful. Are there any other members of the community who would like to, of the public, who would like to speak to this particular? No. Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah, Representative Bless.
I would like to just close with a couple of thoughts. We have now, I heard 234 beds or 240 beds. I don't know the exact number. It's well over 200 beds available. That means we're short our veterans homes by 200 and some odd beds. The numbers I've heard are an average of 15 months waiting. I've heard stories of more than 6 years waiting to get into these homes. We don't have to make the decision. I know we've heard three different presentations from three different communities. We have to fund the veterans homes here. We don't have to name them here. We go into a federal hopper after this, and that's where the decisions are made. We need the funding. We need it soon. We need it now. I believe over 17,000 of the 26,000 are Vietnam veterans. I'm over 50, and I wasn't even close to that war. So I mean, that they're aging quick. And if we decide this year to do it, we're still a couple of years out from servicing our veterans. We need to move, and we need to move now. And I think we're getting close. And again, I thank the chair and the committee for the work they've done last year and the work they're doing this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bliss. And Representative Miller, who I noticed that you were here, and I just wanted to remark on what a fantastic job your crew did. And would you like to say a few words? Yes. Thank you, Representative Miller.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I apologize. I had a bill over in Health and Human Services Finance, as you might imagine, and I got bumped to number two instead of number one, and on we go. So I'm very sorry. I'm sure that Montevideo and did a great job, as did Fillmore, and so did Bemidji. And I just want to probably punctuate what Representative Bliss put at the end there, is that our state has an allotment. This is a complex thing, and that's why Chair Anderson has been wonderful in learning about this and educating and encourage all members who are involved with this to talk to Chair Detmer, Chair Anderson, so many different people, or talk to one of us. But when it simplifies down, there is a potential for up to 234 beds in the state of Minnesota. None of them are guaranteed. I need to be clear about that. And if the process here at the state is difficult, at the federal level, it's even more difficult. But the way that the process goes at the federal level, long story short, is roughly about 70 beds per facility is what's you're going to be able to apply for. So we have three communities that have really pushed hard to address this issue for needs that are throughout the state. I think that's the whole point. We're trying to serve greater Minnesota with different things, and you heard different stories from each thing. And so I continue to implore, as we move forward, to discuss this as how we can address these needs throughout the state. There has been kind of some movement in this session to where it's been, well, we're going to pick one, so you guys battle it out between you. And that puts veterans in a very difficult situation because they want their fellow veterans to be served. And so I hope that we can continue to have that conversation and figure out a model by which we can be successful throughout the state of Minnesota and not just pick winners and losers. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Miller. Are there any other member questions? No. Okay. Very good. So, members, this was an informational hearing. We are going to be moving all three of these projects along to the Capital Investment Committee without recommendation, as has been the case for this committee.
Thank you
so much, all of you, for being here today. So next up, we have Representative Nolan West, House File 3766.
We got to sign this.
Welcome to the committee, Representative West. I will move that House File 3766 be referred to the Capital Investment Committee without recommendation. Proceed with your bill, Representative West.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. House File 3766 is a bonding request for the National Sports Center in Blaine. And the National Sports Center is an incredibly important state-owned facility in Blaine. When the USA Cup comes to town, over 1,000 teams from around the world compete in Blaine, well, soccer teams anyway. In all, over 4 million visitors come to Blaine every year to visit the National Sports Center. This bill will allow the National Sports Center to rebuild their dilapidated and ancient maintenance building. It's been there for years. And Todd Johnson is here with me, who will provide you more details of why it needs to be done. They've been aiming to do this project for a while, and it's shovel-ready and ready to go. So I will pass it off to the Executive Director of the National Sports Center, Todd Johnson, to provide you with some more details.
Thank you, Representative West. Mr. Johnson, would you please state your name for the record and then proceed with your testimony?
Sure. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. My name is Todd Johnson. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission. Testimony will be quick. I know you're pressed for time. We've got a couple MASC board members that are here right now, and they may want to chime in themselves. Just a quick background. I think we're grateful for Representative West for carrying this legislation. It's a very important piece of legislation. This is a project that needs to take place on a parcel of land that we bought 20 years ago, the state of Minnesota purchased 20 years ago. It was a sod farm. And this was a maintenance shed, basically, for the sod farm. think the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission never anticipated they'd be using it as a maintenance facility for 20 years, but that's what ended up having to be the case. Some of you may be familiar with the Arquebus system that the Department of Commerce has state buildings run through. Our entire campus is a part of that, and this is the most energy inefficient building that we have on our campus. Not only that, it's an important asset for the state. As you can see here, we went from 1987, original purchase and the original investment, 80 acres. We're up to 700 acres now if you include the golf course that we lease from the MAC. The asset value, $33 million was originally put in the first couple of buildings back when it was going to be an Olympic training center. The current replacement value of this property is $170 million. Representative West discussed a little bit about the growth of our tournament. We're the third largest youth soccer tournament in the world, only behind one in Norway and one in Sweden. And we've gone from 1987, 69 teams to nearly 1,200 teams, and we're anticipating to have that many again this year. As you can see on the graph there, that the some people ask questions about what happened with the spike there. That's when the National Sports Center built four sheets of ice, the first spike that, that jumps up to nearly 3 million visitors, and then as we added the next four sheets of ice, things slid up as well. So we're proud of the participation we have from the state. We're proud about the economic impact that it receives and gets for the state. It's an important project. Like the representative said, it's shovel ready. It's been shovel ready for 12 years. We've got the plans. We're ready to go. We just need the funding. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Johnson. And do we have another testifier?
I'm Neil Ladd, the Associate Executive Director for the National Sports Center.
Would you like to make any remarks?
Nope. Just like Todd said, we've had this on the agenda since 1998, and hopefully you'll have consideration for it this year.
Thank you for being here. Are there any member questions? Representative Euclid.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, the bonding committee did get an opportunity to tour the facility, and obviously the growth at the National Sports Center has been phenomenal. When the soccer tournaments are there, it reminds me a lot of the state fair, actually. It's just that crowded. It's just absolutely incredible. And we really haven't put too much money into the National Sports Center for many years, and it's really a gem for the entire region as well as the state. So it was a pretty impressive stop on the bonding tour.
Thank you for that, Representative Euclid. And Representative Nash, this is in your wheelhouse.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is very much in my wheelhouse. The testifiers know that my oldest son has played a lot of soccer at the stadium. I've gone through countless dollars, tubes of sunscreen, and miles driven to get there, but it did play a very influential part in him becoming a collegiate soccer player. And he's done now, so he's graduating in May, provided he doesn't screw up his last semester. But he was first noticed there by a good number of teams, and it is a great venue. We have other kids going through soccer as well. It's a wonderful place to go and watch kids from all ages get turned on to what I now call the beautiful sport. So it's a lot of fun to watch. And if you haven't watched soccer, shame on you. And you can come join me, and we'll go watch them together.
Thank you, Representative Nash. Representative West.
I just forgot two things real quick. I want to thank Representative Lilly. He is a co-author on the bill and always a advocate for the Sports Center, and I appreciate that very much. I want to say the Sports Center does not get very much from the state on a recurring basis. It pays, the state provides, I believe it's $300,000 for three salaries. Otherwise, it is self-sustaining with its sponsorships and the fees it charges to use its facilities. So it's also a very fiscally responsible organization.
Thank you, Representative West. Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I hope I don't embarrass myself there, but Mr. Ladd, what high school did you go to?
Madam Chair, Representative Detmer.
Mr. Ladd.
Forest Lake.
Enough said. Enough said.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Madam Chair, just very quickly, this the tenant that I'm referred to is no longer a tenant there. They're building a facility on I-94 and Snelling, but I had the privilege of having my cousin play for the Minnesota United for a number of years in that facility, and so I've had a chance to be there as well. He's since been traded from the Minnesota United to another team, but I have had the opportunity to be able to be there, so I just thought I would show that for whatever it's worth of the committee as well.
Representative, thank you. Just one correct, just so you know, not necessarily a correction, but yes, we were very concerned in some ways, and in other ways we were eager to have discussions with Minnesota United as they were building their facility, and I'm happy to report that we've been able to negotiate a long-term deal. We will continue to be their training facility for the next many number of years.
Thank you for that, Mr. Johnson. Representative O'Driscoll? Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I was quite honored by the speaker to be put on the Amateur Sports Commission, and with Representative Lugholm and Representative Runbeck representing all of us. But I didn't really know much about it. I kind of knew about the hockey component of what goes on out there, but maybe Mr. Johnson, you could talk more about the women, the sports that are involved, the baseball efforts, the recent basketball movements, which I think basketball has just become hugely popular, I mean, continues to grow even. He even had kind of a surprise. During the recent Olympics, they picked up one of the Zamboni drivers, went over to Korea to do Zamboni work. But thank you for bringing this forward, Representative West. And it's really quite a treasure. I know you talk about the numbers, but these are, and then you talk the personal side of it, but it's, you know, it's a lot of kids, and they come in from it. You know, international soccer is really a magical sport as our community, our state changes, and, you know, it's just, I wore a jacket the other day, and I was at Dunn Brothers, and the guy, you know, he's talking, and he's, you know, and other people are talking, and it's just, it's really a neat thing. That's just soccer, but just talk about the numbers just quickly if you could, and I don't know if there's time for that.
Thanks, Representative Lilly. Representative West. Yes.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, real quickly, it's really the area of sports tourism that Representative Lilly is talking about, and it is a booming business. I will just say this for those of you, Representative Nash may appreciate this. Wall Street Journal, October 27th of 2017, wrote an article about a rather large for-profit football facility in Florida called IMG. And in the middle of the article, though, was the statistics on the amount of money spent on amateur sport. Right now, the number is $19 billion, with a projected increase over the next 5 years to be $43 billion. What's going on throughout the entire country is folks are trying to figure out how to capitalize and take the example, really, of Minnesota and do just what we have done here. We're lucky in some senses that we have a track record already. I took a few staff this summer to go visit a place in just north of Indianapolis where the city actually has invested the money in that facility. We're very proud. We have a 60,000 square foot indoor facility. They just built a 380,000 square foot indoor facility. We have, we're in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most number of soccer fields. What we don't have are any outdoor artificial turf soccer fields, which are actually kind of needed in order to maintain the quality on the other ones. You get to a level of Representative Nash's son, and you can't get some teams to come and compete if you don't have quality fields. And it's a really tough thing to come here and ask for money to rest fields, buy more fields and make fields so we can rest them. Instead, we're trying to embark on a process to catch up with some of these other facilities that are doing artificial turf to do just that. We're pretty excited about the way we have it set up. As Representative West said, the one thing we found out when we went down to Indianapolis and looked at that facility, it's run by the city, and it's one of those things, if you build it, they will come. People are going to it, but they do not have the same sort of pressure we have to make ours run. They have a subsidy.
and they just had to take an $8 million draw from the city because they didn't quite have the numbers that they thought. Mm-hmm. Again, Representative West was correct. We have a $300,000 budget from the state. Very inventive way that the statute was written for this facility is that we have the ability to have a nonprofit foundation. That's where most of the people work. But if we don't have the events and we don't have the rentals and we don't run the tournaments ourselves, we go under. So that hasn't been the case, and it won't be going forward because we just have that incentive to make it very popular. One last thing real quick. We are, and Representative Detmar will hold my colleague out as a Forest Lake grad. Some folks won't know this, and he's going to be very embarrassed, but I knew right away when I started up there just 3 years ago, and I followed someone that had the job for 30 years before me, but right away that I had a rock star next to me, and not just because he's from Forest Lake, for everything that he's done up there, from being on a bulldozer to every job he has done up there. But when I found out that he was a walk-on and made the basketball team at Iowa State, Neil stands up, you'll see he's not 6'6". I knew that it was all determination and grit, and I don't know if that comes I think he was fired coach at the time or fired teacher. So people love to work there. We're a big employer. If you look at the number of 1099s we just sent out because we employ referees, it's almost 2,000 people. We provide a lot of youth jobs. So with that, I know I got to get going, but I hope that answers your question.
Thank you for that tremendous overview. Representative Detmar.
Yeah, just because my name is mentioned. You should have been a wrestler, though. So.
Okay. Before we allow Representative West to wrap up, are there any members of the public that would like to speak to this bill? No. Okay, Representative West, final word.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee, for the delightful conversation. I appreciate your support.
Representative West, I apologize. I overlooked Representative Kwan. Okay. Thank you, Representative West. So I renew my motion that House File 3766 be re-referred to the Capital Investment Committee without recommendation. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Bill passes. You're on your way. Okay, and the State Government Finance Committee